Larry Perotti along with Nick Perotti, and it is Wyoming Sports Talk today where we bring on our first guest, Cody Rourke, who's joined us before, Denver Broncos insider and host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Cody, thank you so much for giving us your time once again, and a perfect time to have you on here because draft day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys, for having me back on again. Always love jumping on here. But, yeah, you know, I think everybody around the NFL community is kind of in agreement. They're ready for the draft to be here tomorrow because this is the one year I feel in recent memory. Nobody has an idea where anybody's really going, and so there's so much speculation that has burnt everybody out on draft talk.
Well, we want to go to you of hopefully you can give us some insight, especially regarding the Denver Broncos of, you know, again, a lot of rumors have been floating, you know, only mock drafts exist, but right now for the Denver Broncos, it's showing that could possibly move up for the Denver Broncos, or either they could be standing pat at number 10 and be drafting a quarterback. But give us your insight or at least your prediction for the future of what is day one going to look like for the Denver Broncos?
So today is a day where John Elway, Vic Fangio, and the personnel department, they're going to have their final strategy meeting to kind of sit down and figure out what their game plan is for tomorrow. Their draft board is already set, so for them being able to pick at 10, they've got to look at that, at how the entire draft board falls from picks 1 through 9 before they decipher what they're going to do. Could they move up in the NFL draft? There are rumors all across the board with the Jets wanting to trade back and get back from that number 3 spot. You know, there are other teams like Oakland who may want to move up or maybe from 4 to 3. I mean, just all the scenarios are endless. John Lynch, 49ers general manager, put out some smokescreen this week that, you know, if the right price, if, you know, if they get the right deal, they don't have any problem moving back from 2 to back to 10. I just don't see that happening. I see the Broncos staying put at 10. And right now, you know, I think the clear speculation, a guy who may be available at pick number 10 for the Broncos, Devin Bush out of Michigan. Now, the Broncos are very, very high on Devin White. And, you know, the thing with Devin White is he's not going to be available at 10. He's going to be a guy that goes in the top 5 guaranteed. Guarantee if the Buccaneers are there on the clock and Devin White is available, you could see them selecting Devin White, a very, very talented inside backer out of LSU. The Broncos defensively need that coverage hybrid linebacker that can stop the run and cover very effectively to be able to stop tight ends that have been impacting them. And right now, you know, really, they've been very tight-lipped. The Broncos organization has been very tight-lipped on where they may be leaning to. John Elway yesterday held his pre-draft press conference, and nobody gained a lot of insight on that. You know, we just know that they're going to select somebody, and this is the one year, like I said at the beginning of this segment here, is nobody knows what really any NFL team plans on doing right now, and I think that's a good thing.
What is the chance for the Denver Broncos? You talk about getting linebacker and other entities there at number 10 for the Denver Broncos, but some have speculated or at least trying to find, we got Joe Flacco in. He's going to be the starter, or at least assuming, for the Denver Broncos. But for the Broncos, we don't really have that QB of the future or at least developmental quarterback. And possibly if these fall in the hands of the Denver Broncos, one being Dwayne Haskins or Drew Locke, What are the chances that the Broncos go quarterback in the first round again this year?
Just based on my hunch and several people I've talked to, the likelihood of that happening is very slim compared to what a lot of people had anticipated maybe last week. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, even though the Broncos went with Joe Flacco, who's 34 years old, John Elway and the Broncos do believe that he still has a lot of good football left to play. They think he could play another 3 to 4 years at a high level. Now, obviously, nothing in the NFL is guaranteed. You know, that you could get injured and all of a sudden the NFL could stand for not for long. But with Joe Flacco, he is their guy in 2019. They are not going to put any other quarterback under center in 2019 besides Joe Flacco. Their plan is all in on Flacco in 2019. They may look a little bit ahead to next year's quarterback class. John Elway very enamored with Oregon's Justin Herbert, who decided to stay back another year to play with his brother at the University of Oregon. But the question is, you know, we don't know where the Broncos will be in that point. If they want to get in position to pick a guy like Justin Herbert, you know, do they trade up to be able to get him? I mean, what would they have to give up to maybe get there? Or is that accounting for where they might land in draft positioning? That would might indicate that they might have to have another bad year in order to be in position to draft him. But at this point, you know, I think the Broncos are taking a look at every other resource possible. They're all in on Joe Flacco. If Kevin Hogan Joe Flacco gets hurt, then they're going to go with Kevin Hogan as the backup. And, you know, don't be surprised if they look to add a quarterback in this year's NFL draft in the later rounds. One guy I heard that the Broncos like is Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn. as a potential developmental prospect for them. So keep an eye on that, maybe in the mid to later rounds for the Broncos. If they don't go quarterback round one, it's definitely certain that's something as an option in the mid to later rounds.
Couple questions here for me on this, Cody. First off, is this a make-or-break draft year for John Elway in his position?
I don't believe that's the hunch right now in Denver. You know, a lot of people, John Elway's gotten a lot of flack from people over the years in terms of, well, he hasn't drafted really well. But when we go on and we look at it, here's the thing with the NFL. When you draft players, players are drafted based on what they've produced at the college level and maybe what they can contribute to the NFL. Nobody knows how a guy is going to fit in a certain scheme. Nobody knows exactly the career trajectory that a lot of these guys have. So he's gotten a lot of flack for that. But last year he had a phenomenal draft, and it's something that the Broncos can build on. I mean, think about last year for a lot of these rookies that played. Phillip Lindsay, you talk about Cortland Sutton, you talk about Deshaun Hamilton, some of these other guys. Jake Butt, not necessarily a rookie, though, but he didn't have that ACL injury. So technically it was his rookie season. But all these guys came in and played. Josie Jewell played a lot for the Broncos defensively last season. These guys impressed and they matured more so than you would expect. And so the Broncos played more rookies last year than I think they played in any other year in the last 5 to 6 years. So they have a lot of confidence on that. They have a lot of momentum riding off that. Now the question is, with the picks that they have this year, what can they get? Can they continue to build on that draft? And to be honest with you, if they went quarterback with pick number 10, I feel like that momentum that they had last season building on areas of need, I feel like those declined drastically. But keep an eye on round number 2, Dalton Risner, or maybe a potential trade back into the first round by the Broncos to get Dalton Risner out of K-State, a guy that is a local Colorado guy, but he's nasty. He's got an attitude to them. And he also issued John Elway an ultimatum by saying, look, you know, I'd like to be drafted by the Broncos. If I'm not there, anytime we go to Denver, I'm going to remind John Elway he should have drafted me.
Cody Rourke, Denver Broncos insider, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Let me go back to the second part of my question there on the John Elway make or break year. How about I throw this little jewel at you right now? What's to say that the Broncos, and again, and I'm going on this premise because I just got done watching draft day the other day. What's to say that John Elway and the think tank want to talk to Arizona right now, and maybe they want Murray? Is that out of the realm?
You know, at this point, I don't think that's going to be a possibility for the Broncos. From people that I've talked to around the league, it's almost certain that Kyler Murray is probably going to the Arizona Cardinals, even though nothing's been kind of confirmed at that point. But that's the indication. A lot of people in Nashville right now strongly believe Kyler Murray is the first guy off the board. But that doesn't open the door to the possibility. I know the Broncos didn't have a lot of interest in him last season, and I don't think they'll have interest on him right now unless it's for the right price regarding maybe a second round or a third round pick. But you know, keep an eye on where Josh Rosen may end up. I see a team for like Miami being one of it, but it wouldn't hurt the Broncos, in my opinion, to inquire with the Arizona Cardinals about Josh Rosen being a guy to sit behind Joe Flacco and develop a little bit more.
You know, you mentioned Joe Flacco, and again, Joe Flacco is a steady Eddie quarterback, not going to take anything away, but also Case Keenum was supposed to be steady Eddie, and then we also drafted Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, and we brought in Mark Sanchez, and there was Brock Osweiler to take over after Peyton Manning, and then Brock jumped ship. I'm seeing a pattern here with the quarterback position. It kind of reminds me of when Elway retired 20 years ago, where they went to Greasy, the second coming, and then there was Jay Cutler, and there's Plummer, there's Orton, there's Tebow, and then they finally got Peyton Manning in some 15 years later. I still have a problem with the guy under center right now. Again, does Joe Flacco lead the Broncos in the playoffs? I've got question mark by him.
And I think you're absolutely 110% correct. And you mentioned a trend there, too. Think about it. John Elway, Hall of Fame quarterback. Peyton Manning will be a Hall of Fame quarterback. What about those other guys? I don't see that. It's hard to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I felt like the Broncos had that plan initially with Brock Osweiler, who came in that 2015 season and won games for them, played effectively well, and he took the money and ran to Houston. And that kind of threw things off a little bit, and hence why you brought in Mark Sanchez. Hence why I felt the Broncos felt pressured a little bit by all the hype surrounding they need a quarterback to go for a guy like Paxton Lynch to trade back into round one in 2016 and take him, and he couldn't even sniff the field as a rookie except when Trevor Siemian got injured and a seventh round guy beat him out. So, you know, the Broncos, they can't rely on sixth and seventh round guys. They got to hope right now with Joe Flacco being a former first round pick they got to hope that he can play some good, effective football. And if not, they got to look to getting that quarterback of the future, which might mean that they have to admit, look, we might have to enter a rebuild period, which right now the Broncos and John Elway, they don't want to acknowledge that word at this point in time. That's not in their vocabulary.
We'll talk about replacing players, and we'll get your thoughts on this, Cody, of what's kind of recently developed out of Denver right now. And again, go from the cornerback position to at least cornerbacks with Chris Harris Jr., where right now he's addressed that he wants either a contract renegotiation with the Denver Broncos or either potential trade out of Denver. But what is Denver going to do with Chris Harris Jr.? Do you see him being a part of the Broncos? Will they get him that new contract? Or is this the last time he's going to don a Denver Broncos jersey?
You know, I think there's still a very strong chance Chris Harris Jr. remains in Denver. Now, what kind of led to the blow-up is we saw John Elway's pre-draft press conference yesterday, and he was asked a question about Chris Harris Jr. contract extension, and John Elway said along the lines, you know, I'm too busy for that, you know, to be able to address that because we're working on the draft. We said that we would address it after the draft. We talked about it. That doesn't necessarily mean a deal will get done. And I believe at that point, that last sentence, that doesn't mean it will get done, I think that is what set off kind of a kind of a distinguished fire between Chris Harris's camp and the Broncos front office and John Elway. Chris Harris Jr. felt disrespected by that. And you know, I think that last comment really threw people off in John Elway's press conference because it's like, wait a minute. You know, this is a guy that is arguably your second most valuable player on the team outside of Von Miller. You know, a guy that broke his leg against the Bengals. Rehab vigorously to be able to be ready if the Broncos made the playoffs last season, healed in 3 weeks. And a lot of people's concerned with, you know, Chris Harris Jr. wanting $15 million per year, but look at the cornerback market. He is underpaid for what he has done in his career. Everybody wants to point to the age of, you know, he's going to be turning 30 coming up here in June. And I don't think that we can look at age as something that's comparable to what they're, you know, what he's capable of doing. I still think he has a lot of good football left ahead of him. And today he sat down with 9 News Mike Kliss of Denver, and he had a phone interview with him, and he said he still believes that the relationship can be salvaged. You know, they just got to pay him, and rightfully so. Every Broncos player out there, Derek Wolfe, Von Miller, you know, you got former guys coming out the woodworks, even division rivals like Tyrann Mathieu, saying pay the man because he's been very, very valuable to what the Broncos have done. And right now, look, about his former counterpart, Bradley Roby, is making more money right now this next year in Houston. And Kareem Jackson, who's 31 years old and has less Pro Bowls, has zero compared to Chris Harris Jr.'s 4 Pro Bowls. He's making more guaranteed money in a contract salary next year than Chris Harris is. So definitely, if I was Chris Harris, I would feel disrespected at this point. But I felt like this whole scenario kind of blew up before things could really be addressed. And I think it's going to definitely be something that impacts negotiations a little bit. But I still do believe that these two teams, on Chris Harris's camp, on his agent, and John Elway, I believe they can get together, and I think they can talk. But, you know, it's all up to them at that point what they decide to do.
Cody, we want to thank you very much for joining us. One last thought from you before we turn you loose here today. Looking at the Broncos schedule for the 2019 season, AFC South, NFC North, those will be the outside opponents. I do see Cleveland scattered in there as well. Your thoughts on this year's upcoming season for the Broncos?
Well, when you look at it on paper, the first half of the Broncos season, it looks kind of rough. You open up on a Monday Night Football game against the Raiders, then you got to go and you have your home opener against the Chicago Bears, then you got to go to Lambeau, which I guess the Broncos should be thankful they don't have to go to Lambeau in December. But it's a tough stretch, and right before your Week 10 bye week, you play the Cleveland Browns at home, and right now, just if we look at it on paper, their schedule looks very, very tough. I believe that second half of the schedule is a little more favorable. They open up at Minnesota and then back on the road at Buffalo for consecutive weeks. The one thing I'm looking at is those 11 a.m. start times. The Broncos have several games at 11 a.m. You know, when we look at the Eastern time zone frame, those kickoffs, the Broncos have historically not done so well on those Eastern time zone early morning kickoff games compared to what we've seen in the past. So definitely a tough schedule on paper, but you know, I come in from, you know, with a grain of salt thinking, okay, 1 week at a time, you know, they got to focus on what they control right now. Right now it's preparing for Oakland. And, you know, you want to have a guy like Chris Harris Jr. when you're going to be going against Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams. You're going to want to have to be able to have some guys that can cover those two guys.
All righty, Cody. Hey, great insight. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. And enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Thank you as well. I'm going to watch draft day for the 20th time this month. So, yes, I'm very excited about it.
All right, Cody Rourke, Denver Broncos insider and host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joined us here, giving us his take on what to expect from the Broncos tomorrow. We'll come back. We'll comment a little bit on that after we pause for these words right here in 1480 KRA.